Let us open God's holy word to the Gospel of John, chapter 21. I'll read the verses 1 to 14. John chapter 21, the verses 1 to 14. This is the living word of the living God. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray that he may open it to our hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, we have read your word. We have sung your praises. We sit ready to hear you speak to us and open the words in such a way that our hearts would be burning within us. Father, we pray that you would speak to us by the power of the Holy Spirit to our hearts. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved brothers and sisters, we have arrived at the last chapter of the Gospel of John, the final revelations of Jesus Christ that John passed on to us. And John wants us to pay close attention to the work of Jesus in today's text. It says in verse 21, John 21, verse 1, "After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way." Our text closes with these words in verse 14, "This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed." There is an emphasis going on because three times John writes about revelation. This day in the disciples' life was about seeing Jesus. Jesus was not merely appearing to the disciples as though he says, "Hi, it's me." He revealed himself. He made himself known, and he revealed himself in such a way that the disciples would never forget. Now, the fact that the disciples were fishing is not accidentally, but intentionally. Jesus wanted to reveal himself to the disciples when they were fishing. Fishing in the Sea of Tiberias, which also happens to be the same as the Sea of Galilee. And this is now The same place where Jesus first called his disciples in Matthew 4, verse 18 to 19. It says this, "While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" And so now they're at the same sea, the same lake, probably is what we would call it, the Lake of Galilee. They're at the same place, in the same circumstances. Jesus is again on the shore, and he again speaks to Simon Peter, the leader of the disciples. And Jesus said to them at the beginning, "If you follow me, I will reveal to you how you can become fishers of men for the glory of God." Now it was time today that the disciples would become fishermen for God, to gather the redeemed all over the world, to cast out their nets far and wide, so the kingdom of God would be filled. And so this text in John chapter 1 is not how to do good industry, or, you know, if you have enough faith, or if you do something different every now and then after you caught nothing, then your business will be successful. It's not about that at all. This is not about Peter becoming a great fisherman in the history of fishermen. This is about Jesus showing how the ministry works, not just for the great pastors of the history or the great prophets or apostles, but for all of us. It speaks how we serve the Lord. It's a lesson how you and I can become fishermen of men. And so even though Peter and the disciples were just going to fish for fish, Jesus was teaching them the principles of evangelism, of fishing for men. And so we will look at these four points that come more or less directly out of our text: the initiative, the trial, the word, and the blessing. And those are four essential parts of the ministry, whatever and wherever the Lord has placed you. So let's begin with the initiative. Our text starts with Peter's initiative. It says in verse 2 and 3, "Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael of Cana, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, 'I am going fishing.' And they said to him, 'We will go with you.'" Peter was a fisherman, so he went fishing. Peter was a man of initiative. He was always a man that came up with the ideas. He suggested to build tents upon the Mount of Transfiguration. He struck a man's ear with a sword when he thought now it's time to take action. He was a man of action. He was a man who always stood up front and talked first and had the first plan and was the one who pulled the cart. And if there was no cart to be pulled, he pushed everybody from the back. He was that kind of man, a man of initiative. And so Peter goes out to fish, and with his enthusiasm, he stirs up the others, and they go all together to go fishing. Peter showed initiative and hard work. Now, sometimes there is this idea, this notion, that initiative is wrong in the work of the Lord. And so people read this text and say, "You see, Peter takes the initiative and therefore the mission fails. He runs ahead, he doesn't wait for the Lord, and so he goes out to fish, and because he takes the initiative, that's why he catches nothing." But I think this is a misunderstanding, because I don't think that's the point of this verse, this text at all. Because the misunderstanding that works is an excuse not to do anything for the Lord, not to venture for the Lord in the gospel ministry, is unbiblical. In the book of Acts, there are instances in which the Lord sends his disciples to a specific place and a specific time and a specific message. For example, Cornelius was saved by God's divine appointment. But in general, the disciples, the apostles, seem to go out at random. Right? Sometimes Paul goes out and the Holy Spirit says, "Well, don't go this way." Why? How is that possible? Right? When he turns toward Asia, Paul is stopped by the Holy Spirit. In other words, normally he would go forward by the general call of God upon his life to go and preach the gospel, to go and share the gospel. And the Holy Spirit would stop him at one point and he says, I don't want you to go here, I want you to go to another place. But in general, he would go from city to city preaching the word. Another place is where the disciples are dispersed. Right? They're not sent, they're dispersed. There's persecution. They run away from persecution. And everywhere they go, they begin to share the gospel to the lost. And so then the Bible, there is no strong word against initiative. Now, there is a word against if you try to build your own house, if to try to do it on your own strength and your own power, there's verses against that. But if you go by the commandment of God given in Matthew, go and make disciples of all nations, there's nothing wrong with initiative. Paul asked, in fact, the Ephesians to pray for open doors. For Paul went around and encountered many closed doors. Did you ever think about that? If Paul prays for open doors, it's not because there's always open doors everywhere. It's because he knocked on many doors that were closed. He found many people who didn't want to hear. And so he says, we need more prayer to find more open doors so that wherever I go, the Lord provides entrances for the gospel. But it never stopped him, these closed doors. He just asked more people to pray. Missionaries often have years of closed doors until they finally, the Lord brings the people in. For example, Adoniram Judson, the missionary to Burma, had to wait 6 years for its first convert. Can you imagine writing quarterly reports back 24 times saying, I'm still here. We're doing okay, although my family is dying and we're in persecution. The number of people that have accepted Christ with everything you've given me and all the years I've spent here is thus far zero. It's zero. It's zero. 24 times, it's zero. And then the first one. And then the Lord began to haul in the people for the Lord. William Carey, which Judson and Carey were friends, Judson visited Carey. Carey was a missionary before Adoniram Judson. William Carey had waited 7 years until his first convert in India. Can you imagine a preacher coming in and 7 years, it's the first time when anybody picks up the message? But that's the work of the Lord. They went out and now they're written their books about them and people look at them and says, I'm going to travel the world. And then in 3 years they come back because there's no fruit. Or mission organizations or churches say, well, why is there no fruit? You must be no good. Come back after 2 years. The initiative is no good. Well, the Lord had told the disciples in Matthew 28, verse 19 to go. And so they went. They were obedient, they went, but it was not without trial. And so Peter's initiative, his work, his labor here to go fishing, I think it's a picture. It's a picture for all of us in the ministries around us. If you share the gospel to friends around you, if you are one of those who is generous in the pearls and the diamonds of the gospel, spreading them everywhere around, and you find many times no, or people's ears that are closed, and even other people begin to look at you, other Christians, and say, you see, it makes no sense. You got to listen this morning to these words, because the Bible doesn't speak against initiative. It only speaks about doing things in your own strength, trusting in your own power. And that's exactly the message this morning, that we must show initiative. After God sends us, we must go, but then go with the dependency upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Peter goes out to fish. Now he's an experienced fisherman. He's a man who knew where all the good spots were. He's not like one of you or one of me, amateurs, that goes to a new lake and just cast out your rod hoping that this might be a good spot. But this is one of those men who, whenever they go out to fish, they go exactly where the fish are, cast out their nets, and haul in at least a decent amount of fish. But Peter encountered a trial this night. Now, in the ministry, soon enough, they would counter many trials, lots of trials the Lord's fishermen go through. If you are a fisherman for the Lord, if you are one who preaches the gospel, I know that you go through trials and hardships. And so here it is in 21 verse 3, they went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Can you imagine? You're out, you have nowhere to go. Jesus has risen, but he really hasn't given you much direction of where you have to go. So finally you say, okay, I'll go fishing. And Peter steps in with initiative. He is bold, and the people say, yes, let's go fishing together. We're going to catch some good fish and have some wonderful breakfast. And they start casting. You know, it's 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Nothing. Only seaweed at most, or perhaps an old sandal somewhere in the water. They catch zero fish. They labored hard, they worked eagerly, but they caught nothing. Skilled fishermen and not a single fish that swam into their nets. But Peter did not give up. He fished through the night. Was he discouraged? Most likely. Did he want to give up? Possibly. But he didn't. And that's the key. He kept on going. If Peter had given up, we would have never read this history. And Jesus would not have been able to reveal himself, because Jesus had appointed that he would meet him in the morning. Jesus knew exactly that Peter would go out fishing. Peter knew exactly where the boat would be at any time of the night. And Jesus knew exactly when he would meet Peter. Peter and the disciples, he did not give up, but they went through the dark night of catching nothing. This is what the Lord is also looking forward into his servants. It's not only initiative, it's perseverance. It's keep at it. Perseverance through the night. Jesus could have come to the disciples in the beginning of the night or in the middle of the night, but he didn't. He waited to see if his disciples would persevere, if they would keep on going, if they would keep on fishing through the night. Now, my brothers and sisters, are you a people who persevere? Are you one who casts out the net, and after you pull it in once, your discouragement makes you go back to the shore, go into your bed and sleep like a baby? Or are you one who perseveres, who keeps going until you catch? Do we persevere together as a church? Or are there some asleep on the deck while the others seek to hold the net with all their might? Because in a way, we're like one giant fishing boat, aren't we? And the net can only be carried by all our hands and both of our hands, of each one of us together, as we go out into the world, right? It's amazing. If you look at these light bulbs and they're broken, sometimes it frustrates me, you know, because the only thing that is wrong with the light bulb is this little disconnect in the line, you know what I mean? The little wire, and you can't touch it, you can't put it back together, but it's this little tiny problem in the middle of the lamp, and the whole lamp is thrown away. In the same way, we're like a chain, right? We're like a fishing net in a way. If you have one hole in the fishing net, soon the fish find out and the whole net bursts open. Are we a people who persevere together? Do we fish together through the night? For these days, if any, are the night of world's history. A darker time that I don't think any of us has seen in our lifetime, at least morally and spiritually. We live in dark days. Do we fish together? Because the people around us are eternal souls, more valuable than the whole world put together. Let us never forget what is more precious, our lives, our comfort, or the souls in this world. Even the souls of those whom we say they are so wicked. Their souls are more precious than all our possessions put together. The whole world and all its treasures cannot pay for one of these precious creatures and fellow men made by God in his image. Now the world would call this kind of perseverance insanity. It will never work. You gotta stop doing what you're doing. You gotta give up. You gotta stop after a while and realize this is not the night you're gonna catch anything. And this is not the message by which you're gonna save. He sees from heaven to us today to see if we will persevere in preaching the gospel, if we will go on and spread the gospel news from week to week, from year to year, from generation to generation. Will we persevere, or will we go home? Or perhaps some of us in our mind are already home. And we just attend on Sundays until our days are up. But this is not the time of sleeping, because I want to make all of us come to the end of today's history. My dear brothers and sisters, you must never be discouraged, because you don't work for men. You work for God. Whether you are a well-known member in this church with a great abundance of gifts, or if you are one who wonders if you have any gift at all, you are part of the fishermen of Christ. And even when Jesus seems far and the night is dark and we are tired and exhausted, our Lord is never far away, for look who stands on the shore. I can almost hear the disciples say, and probably it doesn't start with Peter, but it's been in his mind, and it starts with one of the last disciples who said, "We will join too. Is it morning yet? Shall we just wait for another time? Shall we just hope for another day?" And Peter stands in the front and casts out a net again, and he says, "There must be fish. I know they're in there, but if I jump in there, I'm not going to catch them. I got to bring the net one more time and got to catch these fish." Then we come to our third point, the word. For just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." Jesus is standing on the shore. The sun is coming in over the horizon. The light is coming into the world, and the voice of Jesus echoes over the waters into the ears of the disciples. And look how he addresses his disciples. "Children." He is not just their brother, he is their father. He says, "My little children." You see the love in that one word? He is one whose heart is rolling over with compassion, and you almost see him waiting for his time to say this, "Children, have you caught anything?" My dear ones, my beloved, your father is here to help you bring in the fish. I'm here to teach you how to fish. It's almost like these wise fishermen who knew how to fish were just fishing the whole night without a hook or without bait, just casting their lines into the water and wondering why nothing was caught. But now their teacher, their rabbi, their Lord is here. Jesus says, "Children, do you have any fish?" And they answered, "No." They were honest. They didn't try to excuse or cover it up. They had caught nothing. They were honest with themselves, and they were honest with this stranger on the beach. And Jesus said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." Now, the point here is not the right side of the boat, because in English, we can make a nice point of this, right? The left side was the wrong side, but the right side is the right side. But unfortunately, in the Greek, it doesn't quite work that way. So we can't really make that point. The point really is not that Peter was such a fool that he hadn't realized that he had been casting it on the wrong side all night long. The point is obedience to Jesus and willingness to listen Jesus enters into their exhaustion, their hardship, and the discouragement and says, cast it out once again on the other side. I am here. Do it one more time because I ask you. Now, John states very clearly, I want you to find this out, because probably you would have this idea now that what I'm saying is, well, if you don't catch anything, you need to listen to Jesus. And when you hear Jesus speak, then you need to do what Jesus says. And in a way, that would be true. But the thing here is, they did not know that it was Jesus speaking. Did you notice that? It says it very clearly in our text. They said just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore in verse 4, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And so it was a stranger speaking to them through the night, through the morning as it came to, as the light began to pierce through the darkness of the night. Jesus spoke to them, but they didn't recognize yet at this point that it was Jesus. It was just like other times when they cast out the net, but now for this stranger, they would cast the net one more time. My dear friends, I think this says something to us. Because sometimes we want to hear Jesus speak to us, or we want to recognize as Jesus, and when we don't hear it's Jesus' voice, because we've never heard his audible voice, we think, well, this is just a new idea that cannot possibly work. And so we don't listen. But would you cast out the net for a stranger standing on the shore? In the Netherlands, we have a saying, right? The best captain stands on the seashore, right? The one who stands on the shore tells all the other captains exactly how they have to put their boat in the right way, but he never gets on the boat himself, right? It's easy to stand at a distance and say how it's done, but to get on there yourself, it's the hard part. But that's not what the disciples were hearing. They did it. They wanted to catch. And even though this stranger spoke to them a new word of casting the net on the other side, they listened. Now we must remember in our lives that God leads all things in our life. Now there are things that Satan tries to bring to bring us to a different kind of gospel, to preach a different kind of news and say, well, if you just don't preach sin or hell, then people will come. That's not what it's talking about here. It's casting the same net, but here at a different place. And I think that's key, right? Jesus brings circumstances in our life, new people in our life. If we have been working with one group of people, one ministry all our life and said, that's where we got to fish, that's where we got to bring the gospel. And then somebody comes to us out of nowhere and says, bring me the gospel. Share the gospel with that person. Bring the gospel in this way. We don't know if it's Jesus or not, but it's a good thing. It can't hurt, so to speak. And it's amazing because the disciples, we can't say they cast by faith, right? They're still working on Peter's initial initiative. They're still casting out nets as they were before. They're in the boat because Peter put them in the boat. And Jesus uses Peter's initiative to cast out the net on the other way. Jesus uses where Peter went and in that place to speak to him through the night and bring the gospel. When we have labored hard and long in the ministry, whatever God's ministry is in our life, we might miss Jesus when he comes to us and calls us to share the gospel one more time, to cast the net out one more time, perhaps and to a different people before, perhaps in a different place than before. Let us not forget that all things work together for good to those who love him. I can tell you again and again in my own life, where I would share the gospel in many ways to many people, would go out on the street every month, for months, for a year, we would go out every Saturday and preach the gospel and share with people the gospel. No fish. The only thing that would happen is that Christians were encouraged, but nobody was brought into the gospel. Now we were rejoicing in the Christians that were encouraged, but we wanted to see the lost saved. And then one day we go out and share the gospel in this most Reformed Christian Student Association. well, certainly there be no fish here. These are all people who, in the midst of their studies, take time out to hear God's word. And the Lord, by his grace and his word and his people, caught many in his net that night. And I was so ready to give up. I didn't tell the other brothers, but I didn't want to go. I told the brothers before, I think my tummy is aching. I don't feel well. I think I might be sick. I don't feel well. Why don't you share your testimony? And why don't that person, why doesn't he share? And I was praying, Lord, let his testimony last an hour. And then say, let's go home. I didn't want to go. Then the Lord said, you cast out your net one more time. Cast out my net one more time. Then the Lord began to save people. You know why? Not because of my hands, not because of my lips or my words, not because of my brother's testimony, not even because of their prayers, but because of God. Because Jesus spoke through it and I didn't recognize him. If Jesus would have spoken from heaven with a light in the sky and says, I am going to bring these people in. I sent you to this place so that you share the gospel in this place. And that's how you will find people saved. I would go marching in with joy. But I was exhausted. And my heart was not in it. I did not feel like a spiritual man. I felt out of it, weak. And my message would not have saved and did not save anyone. But it was Jesus casting the net one more time on the other side of the boat. Are we open to God's voice even when we don't recognize it's the voice of Jesus? Because afterwards it was crystal clear. It's the Lord that led it. It's the Lord that brought all of this together. It's the Lord that went that year long of shame and anxiety and pain and insults to our heads that brought us to this place and then to another and then to another. You see how the Lord works? That is not only in my life, that is in all of our lives. You may have labored for years, and suddenly a friend of a grandchild comes to you and you share the gospel, and suddenly the ears open up and the gospel goes in and you don't see it because your life is too short. But from that man, another is saved, and another is saved, and suddenly the next Charles Spurgeon or John Calvin is raised up and millions are saved. We don't give up. Yes, we show initiative. Yes, we depend upon the Lord. But we also keep listening for new opportunities when God speaks through a seeming stranger. And suddenly when we look back, it's the Lord that brings us people to himself. You see, it would have been easy for Peter to cast the net if he knew it was Jesus. But now he took perseverance and faith in God's sovereignty. Jesus challenged Peter's faith so it could shine. And then the Lord blessed Peter's perseverance. Do you preach the gospel? Or do you try to change the gospel? You see, Peter's mission was the same. He was going after the lost. That's our waters. The lost. We don't fish for saved people. One pastor once said, the church is like people that buy a $5,000 fishing rod to fish in their own bathtub every week and wonder why nothing is caught. We must go out into the world and cast out our nets to bring in the lost. You know why? Because God loves them. Because we love them. Because he has opened our heart, and because of that we're willing to die so that others might be saved. We're willing to give up everything so others might come to know him. And then comes the blessing in the verses 6-8. So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. I love that it's there. It doesn't say they catch a lot, which they did. It was too much. That's when you know when God has brought in the fish. Because it's not pleasant often when the Lord begins to give blessing, you know what? Because all your schedule is ruined. Because suddenly it's counseling here, speaking to people there, helping people there. Suddenly it's like, where is my time? Where's my strength? But there's a joy of seeing the Lord's blessing. disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, which means he had a cloak on, right? He was not without clothes. He was in his undergarment to be able to maneuver around. And so he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. Peter's initiative again. I love it. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, about 100 yards off. They had shown initiative. They had persevered through trial. They had obeyed the voice of God, and now they could enjoy God's rich blessings. For the net was so full that they couldn't even handle it. In the end, it was the biggest catch they had ever experienced. Now, would you say this would be a good night of fishing? I'd say it'd be a pretty good night of fishing. Would you say 5 minutes before this, it was a good night of fishing? It was a terrible night of fishing. How far are we from it's a terrible night of fishing to it's a very good night of fishing? We don't know. That's not for us to know, for Jesus comes and stands on the shore when it is his time. But we must go. We must persevere. We must go through the trials and tribulation of not catching, of getting our hands cut open by the nets, until finally the Lord gives the abundance of blessing. And often the Lord's work is slow, but it always, if it's done in faith and faithfulness, it brings in an abundance in the end. That's why the ministers of the Lord, and by ministers I don't mean pastors, I mean all the ministers of the Lord who persevere, come into heaven with the same testimony. Oh, how great and how rich and how abundant are your blessings. If I had known from the beginning, I would have put twice as much strength and energy in it. For I know that it is you who fill the nets and who fill my heart. For the net was so full they couldn't handle it. And Peter sees it happening. And then he hears somebody says, "It is the Lord." And immediately he forgets all the fish. Do you see that? All night he says, "I need fish, I need fish, I need fish. I want to get fish. Why is there no fish?" And none of it, there must be fish in it. Complete baby fish, 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 no fish. Suddenly it's the Lord. Forget about the fish. He jumps in and swims. Peter is filled with joy. Only now we see Jesus never needed fish. Did you see that? Because they got the fish, and when he stands as a stranger, he says, "Do you catch any fish?" Because they must have thought, well, probably he wants to buy a fish or get a fish. He must be hungry. But now when they come to the shore, Jesus already has a fish. He's fully provided for. Jesus doesn't need anything from us. He doesn't need anything from the disciples. He is fully satisfied, fully pleased. He doesn't stand there on the shore. "I really hope the disciples aren't going to catch a fish for me. Otherwise, I'm going to starve." No. He doesn't need our work. He doesn't even need our harvest. And yet it blesses him. And it blesses us. Do you see this? This whole history is for the joy, not of Jesus, not of the disciples, but of the shared joy of faith and love in which Jesus loves the disciples and the disciples begin to believe in Christ, that they see him and they see Jesus revealed. That's the purpose of every ministry. He doesn't need me or you. He can fully supply whatever he needs for himself by his own strength. But the purpose is that we grow in our faith and perseverance, and then we see him working through us, and we realize that Christ got out, walked there, stood there, waited patiently for us because he loves us. And that's the revelation of Christ, that we need him. And that he loves us. For in evangelism, we should remember, they could not see Jesus at the beginning, but they saw him in the end. You and I, when we look at our church around us and we're honest, we are thankful for every member that sits here. I praise the Lord every week, every day, for all of you. But there's much more room. There's so many more lost people out there. There's so many people who haven't heard of Christ. We have prayed so much. We have shared the gospel so much. But it might be almost morning. It might almost be when Christ brings in a word. And suddenly we need to expand because the net is too small. Don't lose heart. Believe in Jesus. Our initiatives, our work, our labors are not in vain when they're done by faith, trusting in the strength upon Christ, when we eagerly wait for Him and do not give up, but persevere. For He will speak. For He loves to reward those who walk by faith. Give me one man or one woman in the Bible who walks by faith, labors by faith, and is not rewarded. You'd probably have to go to 2 Romans or 3 Peter and write your own writings, because it's not in the Bible. You know why? Because Hebrews 11 tells us very clearly that God always, without fail, blesses those with persevering faith. And therefore, whether you're 8 or 80, do not be discouraged. Keep fishing together. And one day, there'll be 153 fish in one day. Now, I'm not going to give you some mathematical formula, which church history has done many times, about sevens and threes and all kinds of calculations by which we come to 153. You know what this 153 means? A lot of fish. A lot of people. You know what it means by the number 1, 5, and 3? It means it's 153, which means it's a lot of people, a lot of fish. You know why it can be more than that? Because the first time Peter preached after this, 2,000 souls were added. That's what it meant. And then they preached again, and 3,000 more souls were added. That's what it meant. But until that day, they fished and caught nothing. Therefore, let us fish, whether we catch or whether we catch not, because we serve the Lord, and this is not our business, it's His. And so let us see if the Lord rewards those who believe, so our hearts would be filled with faith when we see His love for our church, our people, and our labor. And all God's people said, Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we need your supernatural strength, because our minds, our energy levels go up and down. Satan shoots arrows of discouragement all the time, and yet we see your mighty, strong arm bringing us together closer and closer, and bringing many to us already, but we pray that you would add so many. For Lord, we love the people of this world, and we love to see them know you. Lord, we're surprised by your amazing grace and how you bring people to yourself. Father, we will persevere because we want to see you on that shore and have breakfast with you one day in heaven. For Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.